Hello and welcome back, Ram Yomi. We are now in the sixth parak of the Rambam's Hilchos Talmud Torah, and we are going to complete some of the topic that we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we were pointed out that the Rambam had a distinction between whether Rav is your Rav HaMufak, whether you learn most of your life's learning from one individual and how to treat that individual, and the Brisker Rav points out that Kavod and Yira really parallels the experience of Kavod and Yira we have for a parent. Because again, as we pointed out, that Rab brings you not only, not like a parent bring you into this world, that Rab brings you into the next world. But there's also a distinction between that Rab and a Rab in general, a Talmud Chacham in general, who teaches you any amount of Torah. And that individual you have to stand for when they're in four amos of you, and you should still rip kriya, you should still rip interior clothing when they pass. And the Brisker Rav wanted to point out that that form of kavod was actually not from the kavod in Yura piece, but rather from takum v'hadarta. In the same way, when we respect every other kind of elderly person that we encounter, we stand for them as they enter a room, like it appears on every bus in Yerushalayim, for example, to stand up, make room basically for Bnei Seiva Takum, right, to stand up for elderly, Vadarta Pnei Zakein. So that pasuk is going to be what we're going to start with now in Halacha Aleph. But says the Brisker Rav, that is the distinction between those two individuals. The Rav HaMuvak is the one that has the kavod and the yira, the honor and the fear like a parent, and the Rav that teaches you an amount of Torah, but not the majority of your Torah, so that he is similar to an individual that we're going to describe right now, which is just a general Talmud Chacham. And the Brisker Rav wanted to point out that when it comes to Rav HaMuvak, one is allowed to be mochel on kavod, one is allowed to basically say, I'm not interested in that kavod or yira, like a parent is able to. But when it comes to a Rav in general, Talmud Chacham in general, there's a certain baseline type of treatment that we have to have of all Talmidei Chachamim that is important for us to be aware of. So this is exactly what the Brisker Rav is quoting. When he's talking about that individual who he's saying is just simply a rav, it's from this verse, Allah called Talmud Chacham Mitzvah the Hadro. V'yafa b'she'enu rabo sh'ne'emar mipnei sivat akum v'adarta l'pnei sakin. V'zakin zeh sh'kana chachmah. Says the Rambam now in Halacha Aleph of the sixth parak, any Talmud Chacham that you encounter, it's a mitzvah to respect. And based on the pasuk, right, stand for, you know, a white-haired individual, let's say, right, so an elderly person, respect an elder. And while zakein might mean elder, here the Rambam is saying zakein zeshekana chachma, someone that is acquired chachma. We talked about the idea a couple of parakim ago about the importance of the knot to acquire Torah. There are different kinyanim in the Torah. In the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, the sixth Mishnah, talks about the 48 kinyanim of learning Torah and how one is able to literally acquire Torah, same way I would acquire movables in this world or a piece of land, for example. So it belongs to me, so to Torah in the same exact way. And it really depends. The Rambam earlier talked about how much we devote ourselves to learning that Torah is how much we are able to be kona in. When does one have to stand actually when they see such an individual, namely a Talmid Chacham that they haven't learned from? Mishi yikrav mimenu barba amos ad she'avor mikneged panav. So as long as there are four amos in front of you until they pass you, basically. So this is clearly a distinction, says, or this is what the Brisker Rav was saying before. This is like the distinction that we saw yesterday between a Rav HaMuvak and a Rav. A Rav, as long as they're within four amos of you, and then until they pass you, you have to stand. But a Rav HaMuvak, if you'll remember, is similar to what we're going to talk about later on today, for like a Nasi, for example. Where you need to stand for them as far as you could see them, and then continue as far as they could see, you could see them the other direction as well. So not just simply when they pass. So that's what a Rav Muvak would be. And here we're saying, no, just within the four Amos is what you're obligated to stand. So let's see when one is obligated to stand. Says the Rambam, you shouldn't stand for a Talmid Chacham when it's a case that's not respectable. Like if you're at a bathhouse or if you're in a bathroom, you don't stand for Talmid Chacham in that situation, because it says takum v'hadarta, stand, and it should be v'hadarta, it should be respectable. Kima sheyesh ba hider, it should convey hider, it should convey respect, and that would not convey respect. Now we're going to see another learning that we have from those words. Hey vale omonios. Says the Rambam, when a crafts person is doing their work, they shouldn't stand for a Talmid Chacham. In general, we say that they shouldn't interrupt what they're doing. They should work consistently and invest themselves, which is actually why I think was one of the points that Rambam actually mentioned a couple of days ago, how one should learn Torah also. If you have to not have any interruptions when you are a craft person, so kav chomer when it comes to learning Torah. But here the Rambam is saying for a craft person, you shouldn't interrupt you shouldn't interrupt your work to stand for a time when it comes by. Why? Because it's takum v'adarta, the same way Hinder doesn't have, Chesron Kiss doesn't have any financial loss, right? Showing respect does not involve financial loss. So too, standing does not need to involve a financial loss. In other words, if you're standing while you're working, you're on the clock, so you're gonna, there's gonna be financial loss there. Someone's waiting to buy, let's say you're a shoe repairman, and they bring in the shoes and you happen to work in a place where Tamir and Chamin walk by, so you're fixing your shoe every 2 minutes, you're standing up, the person can get frustrated that you're not fixing the shoes fast enough. So that would be Chesron Kiss, to be a financial loss that would come along with that form of standing and that form of Hadarta. So two different things we learned from Takum Hadarta. One is that the Takum needs to reflect Hadarta, that it needs to, Kimesh Yesh Ba Hidur, it has to stand in a situation in which it would be a Hidur, it would be respectable. And number two is Takum V'Hadarta, the same way V'Hadarta doesn't have any financial loss, so too your Kima shouldn't have any financial loss, your standing shouldn't have any financial loss. Good. Let's say, I have a really great idea. I don't want to have to keep standing up until Mecha come and pass by, so I'm just going to keep my eyes away from the road. I'm not going to look up. I won't know when the Talmid Chacham passes. I'm just not going to have any idea. I won't see him. Right. So how should I know that I shouldn't do this? Says the pasuk, "V'yareisam elokecha," and I should fear God. And the Rambam is going to say a general rule now. Anything that has to do with one's conscience, one's internal kind of thoughts. Yes, it's true. One could technically pretend like, or kind of give the impression to the rest of the world, I didn't see him, that's why I didn't stand up. It's not because I don't think it's time. I just didn't see him because I was so engrossed in what I was doing in front of me, I couldn't see the time of Chacham that just passed by. Says the Pasuk, you have to fear God. It's not about convincing the people around you that that's the case. It's about what you are aware of. It happens to be, if you're totally engrossed in something you didn't notice, okay, so v'yareisam elokecha, the Rebbe Shlom will know that wasn't a farce. That was you being honest and not knowing that the individual passed by. But if you were trying, if you saw the individual coming and you're like, let me get out of this. I can't be bothered with this right now. I'm going to be so engrossed in what I'm doing, I won't see them. So then that would be a problem. It says the Rambam, that exists for all halachos. You see, v'yareisam elokecha come up in psukim all the time, specifically because it gives us an impression that the halacha is not just between me and kind of what people are viewing me as. No, it's between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if I want to pretend things, I should just be aware the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. Halacha gimel ein ra'ah l'chacham sheyatzriach es ha'am v'yichan min atzmo lahen kidei sheyamdu mipanav ela yelech v'derech kitzara v'miskavein shelo yiru so kidei shelo yatzrichan la'amor. So we just pointed out what one shouldn't do if they are the individual who is witnessing and seeing a Talmid Chacham and standing for the Talmid Chacham. But what about the Talmid Chacham's behavior? Says the Rambam, you know what's best for Talmid Chacham to do? Is to try to avoid basically giving a tircha to the individual to the individuals that are going to have to stand for them. So this is actually all based on the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf. And Daf Lamed Gimel, some of it's in Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph, some of Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. But the Gemara over there really talks about the importance really of a Talmid Chacham trying to avoid this type of tircha, this type of trouble that they're going to cause to the people that have to stand up if they walk through, you know, in the normal way. So says the Rambam, the person shouldn't walk the Derech Tzar, the short, you know, they should take shortcuts. That people shouldn't see him. You often see if a rabbi is about to be called up, let's say at a chuppah to do a certain honor, they very often try to sneak to the front before they get announced, so that nobody feels that, you know, so it's a very short distance to get to under the chuppah, so they don't have to cause the entire Tehillah to stand for an extended period of time. It's just easier, to get directly to the front. So again, on one hand, the Rambam says you as an individual who is witnessing cannot put your eyes away and try to avoid witnessing the Talmid Chacham. But on the other hand, the Talmid Chacham is allowed to and actually encouraged to try to avoid causing the people that he's around to do this standing for this form of hinder, for an extended period of time or even for at all. Now, Chama Yimakifim V'Holchim V'Derech Achitzon L'Shein Mekireyem Mitzuyin Sham Kedesh Le'Yatrichum. Right? And our Chacham and Chazal would actually go and take the circular outskirts routes of the city, basically to avoid, they enter exactly where they needed to, as opposed to walking straight through the city where people would have to stand up for them. Again, this is all based on Gemara and Kiddushin and Laman Gimel. They point out that it's not appropriate for Talmid Chacham to trouble everybody and basically position themselves in front of everybody, so that they would have to stand for them. They would have to stand for them, but it's not proper for the Talmid Chacham himself. It really is just take these shortcuts, and as we just pointed out, and some of the Talmid Chacham or Chazal that actually would do these circular routes, come from, again, this Gemara Kiddushin, Abaye and Rabbi Zeira would actually do this. Abaye and Rabbi Zeira, we've heard these names before. Abaye and Rabbi Zeira were, Dafka take these kind of external routes to try to avoid the kavod or the hinder. Fine. Halacha Dalit. And by the way, I just want to point out that this is different than what the Rambam was saying earlier in the last parak as well. The Rambam pointed out the last parak that if a Rav avoids or tells, doesn't allow the Talmud, their Talmidim, their students to give them, a kavod and yirah, this is talking about Rav Mubak. So then they're removing the chesed from that individual, and they're removing the opportunity for them to have true Yirah Shemayim, as we pointed out yesterday. That's not the case here, because we're talking about an individual who is a Talmid Chacham in general. We're talking about Hamon Am, we're talking about the Kamer. It's not specifically for their own students, etc. And that's where maybe some of this distinction arrived. Okay, speaking of distinctions, there is no distinction between someone who is walking, right? So the Talmid Chacham that's walking, that's usually when we would stand up for them, and someone who is riding, let's say, on an animal, wherever it is, to be able to get there somewhere faster. Rochev harekim ha'alech, which we treat as, riding the same way as we do walking. Just as we stand for someone who is walking, so too we stand for someone who is riding. And halacha, hey, another Torah halacha, shalosh shalahayu holchim v'derech, harav emtza gadol mino v'kata mismolo. Says the Rambam, just as we're talking about, individuals who are walking, and then the Chachamim that are walking, so if there's a Talmid Chacham walking, Talmid Chacham should be walking in the middle, and, whoever's next, in line, basically, of Chachma, they should walk on that person's right, and the next person who is, who is in line, should walk on the left, and that's basically kind of the stature level of how one should be walking between with three people together. Fine. I'm just throwing that in here because we're talking about seeing a Talmid Chacham walking. We just pointed out again the Rochev is no different than walking. Good. Halacha vav. So now we're going to see the distinction between Talmud Chacham, an Av Beis Din, who's the head of a Beit Din, the head of a court, a Jewish court, and a Nasi, who, okay, we're going to see the most extreme of the cases here as well. Okay, let's see. Okay, so we actually talked about this already a little bit, but the rabbi was trying to compare and contrast, and we'll see it all together. So you see, Talmud Chacham ain't omei mifanav. Until they get within four amos, don't stand. Once they pass by, then you get to draw a basin. What if you see a basin? So okay, so a basin is kind of like a conglomerate approach. When you see the basin coming, that's when you have to stand up. Meaning, no matter how far away it is, it doesn't have to be within four cubits. It has to be as far away. Basically, as you could see, once they pass you by Arba Amos, once they pass you by four Amos, so you don't have to wait until you can't see them anymore, in the other direction, as we pointed out, like a Rabba Mulfag. We're saying as long as they're passing you with four cubits, so then it's okay, you can sit down again. Ras and Asi, so if you see the Nasi, Ome Milfanav Miloe Navena Yoshi Rajayachim Mikomo, Oh, Aja Iskasa Meinav. So we're talking about Nasi right now. We have to give a little bit more actually afterwards about the Nasi. But when you see a Nasi coming in your direction, you see him from far away, don't sit, maybe stand up basically, and don't sit until you no longer see them. It's very similar to a Rav HaMuvok, as I pointed out earlier in the previous days halachos. And very similar to Rav HaMuvok as well, the Rambam is giving clear rights to a nasi to be able to be mochel on their kavod. They're allowed to be mochel on their kavod. They're allowed to forgive their kavod, so to speak. So too, just like a Rav Mufak, and we pointed out just like a parent. Okay, kishav nasi nichnas kol ha'am omdim ein on yoshim ashiyomer lahen shvu. So when a nasi comes into a room, so let's say they're not passing by you, a nasi comes into a room, everyone stands up, and no one's allowed to sit down until he says sit down. Let's say a basin is entering to the base the basin. Give him two room base two lines basically so, which are empty. You don't fill those lines. But only everyone's standing up. Until he comes and sits down. Basically until he sits down in his seat. And then Usha'am Yoshim Mikoma. And then everybody else will remain in their seats. Meaning, so it's a more limited approach. So again, the Beis Din enters, the two rows are open for him, and then the people stand on either side until he enters and sits in his place. And once he sits in his place, then everybody can sit down in those rows. And then the rest, again, the rest of the people in the room, can remain seating in their locations. Chacham shenichnas kol sheyagia lo, ba'arba amos, never go back to Talmud Chacham. So it's not like the whole room, when Chacham walks into the room, the whole room doesn't need to stand up in the same way. No, as we pointed out, it has to be within four amos. So as he gets closer and closer to individuals, they have to stand up and then they sit down. It's a little bit like a wave. And those individuals then will sit down all the way until, until he gets in and then sits down. Once he sits down, everyone else is allowed to sit down as well. Just going back to some of the halachas that we pointed out in the last halacha, there is actually in Kiddushin and Lamed Beis, so we're talking obviously in Lamed Gimel, we just talked about a lot of these halachas in Lamed Beis now, there are a bunch of these halachas as well. So before the whole discussion between Eliezer and Yeshua and Rebetzel, but before that, the Gemara also points out that we learned from Moshe Benu. When Moshe went out to the tent, and all the people would rise. Everyone, you know, would stand up. So each person would stand near their tent, looking at Moshe until he came to the tent. So that's basically like, okay, so we're going to see. Well, the Gemara points out, actually, Hilchos Malachim, when we get to Hilchos Malachim in the second parak, the third halacha, the Rambam points out that a Nasi is allowed to forgo their honors, a king is not allowed to forgo his honor, must constantly be treated with reverence. Okay, so that's an interesting distinction there. We're going to talk about the king in another time, and whether Moshe was, more comparable to a king. But the Gemara talks about a story of Eliezer, of Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok. We're basically sitting at the wedding meal of Rabbi Gamliel's son. And Rabbi Gamliel was pouring drinks for everybody. Ah, he's so excited. Everybody was at his son's wedding. So he offered a cup to Eliezer, and he said, no, I'm okay. Then he offered a drink to Rabbi Yeshua, and he accepted it. So Eliezer says, Yeshua, what are you doing? We're sitting here, and Rabbi Gamliel is pouring drinks for us? So Rabbi Yeshua responds, says, no, we have a precedent already. A person who gets that, serves other people. Well, how do we know that? Because Avram served so many people in his generation. He stood over them to serve them. We see what happened specifically in the Perek Yichas of Bereishis, where Avram greets the angels, and he didn't think that they were angels. He thought that they were passerbyers. So why wouldn't we allow Rabbi Gamliel to serve us in this case? So again, clearly, if an individual, this goes back to the point we were talking about before, and now we're seeing kind of if a Talmid Chacham wants to be Mochel, or if a, or in that case, the Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, wants to be Mochel al in his Kavod, so that would be acceptable as well. Back to Halacha Zion, as we were talking about, so B'nei Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim, Bizman Shaharabim Sirikim Mahem Mikatin Al Rasha Am in Fasim Kama. So when the people need the children of the Chachamim or the other Talmid Chachamim, they're allowed to jump over the people's heads basically to be able to get to their place and service the people. It's not praiseworthy for a Talmid Chacham to enter somewhere last. Why? Because then everyone's going to have to stand up. But if they need to leave for to tend to his need, they have to do the you have to go to the bathroom or whatever it is. Then they're allowed to come back to the place that he was. So let's say you have children sitting down of the Talmid Chacham who's giving a shiur or something like that, and they're sitting there. So if they can understand what their father is saying, so face their father. They should sit there facing the father and learn. But if they can, they should sit there facing the people as opposed to the father if they can't pay attention. Okay, speaking about a Talmid sitting by, let's say by their rabbo. Talmud Shehu Yosha the Tnei Rabbo Talmud Eino Roshay La Amum Bipanav El Shachras VaAlvis Bilvad. A Talmud is only allowed to stand for their Rebbe only twice in the day. It's very important. Yeah, we're talking about all these times you're going to stand up and sit down. You can only stand for your Rebbe only twice in the day. Why? El Shachras VaAlvis Bilvad only in the morning and at night. Why? Why should it matter? Why can't I do it all day? Says the Rambam, "Shlo yeh kvodem meruba mikvod shemayim." So that the honor you're giving to this to your Rebbe is not greater than that of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We point out, because the Mishnah points out that we, two times every day we accept the Rambam Shlom's yoke on our our shoulders by reciting Shema. We do that in the morning. We do that at night. So it would be inappropriate to kind of give more kavod, so to speak, by standing more times for the Talmud. For the Rebbe than in the morning and at night. We also pointed out again as we were talking about in the Esfiz Halachos that a Rebbe and the cover that we have for a Rebbe really ultimately is derived from. We say it's compared to that of a parent, but it's derived from and it's very comparable to that of Kavod Shemayim, that of our honor and our fear of Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Shemayim. And so therefore, as we pointed out, if one embarrasses Talmid Chacham, it's as if you're embarrassing the Ribono Shel Olam, etc. A whole list there of all the things that doing it to Talmid Chacham would be like as if you're doing it to the Ribono Shel Olam, which would be not a good thing. And therefore, again, here we want to make sure to limit the capacity of how often we're standing. Mishu Zaki Mufla Bezikna. We started off the entire parak here by talking about the Takum Vadarta, when we're talking about specifically Sevat Takum Vadarta Pnei Zaken. So we said Vadarta Pnei Zaken is referring to an individual who is Talmud Chacham. That's what we're referring to right now. But we're also not going to say that in halacha test now, that it, let's say it's an individual who's actually old. He's pretty old. Advanced in age. Sheino Chacham. Let's say they're not Talmud Chacham. Okay, so you still own them with farm, you still stand for that individual. So we're going back on that. Zakim, you know, was a Chacham. It also mean that a Zakim is a Zakim. So you have, if someone who's an elderly person, you gotta stand for that. Who yelled Omen Mipnei Azakin and Muflad Vizikna. Even a Talmud Chacham, who was a younger Talmud Chacham, younger than this individual, let's say, it could be a major Talmud Chacham. But nevertheless, if this person is an elderly individual, they should also still stand for them. You have to do it in a way that basically is going to show some token of respect in that situation. You have Talmud Chacham standing for this individual. You don't have to stand all the way up, but you just stand to show some amount of respect. And this is kind of typically what happens, you know, kind of like the quick stand out of the seat. Where it doesn't have to be an entire, you know, standing up, you know, proper, but it can be kind of just like a quick, jump up, to show cover. But if you're talking kuti, mehajino sobidvarim, and nostin lo yan, the samcha, shenam mevne sevatakum, kol seva minashma. When we say mevne sevatakum, we're talking about any elderly person, even a non-Jewish elderly person, we have the opportunity to show them kavod. We should, by talking to them, kindly and to, give them a hand to be able to support them as well. Says the Rambam, those are all part of the same halachos. Halacha yud. Now we have kind of communal responsibilities. How often is the Talmid Chacham supposed to be involved in those communal responsibilities or not? Or taxes, we'll see. Talmid Chacham she'enam yotzim, enam yotzim, is ma'atmam lasos im kol ha'kaav binyan v'chafira shal medina, chayotzi bahen, kidei shalo yisbazu b'nei ame ha'aretz. We're nervous that there's going to be a form of disgrace in front of the common people, and so therefore we restrict the Talmud Chacham's kind of activities. One of them, those activities that we would restrict is a kind of communal working project where everyone would be working together to build or dig a ditch or something like that. Those working projects that the Talmud Chacham should not do because it could lead people to disgrace the individual. The Ein Govim Mehen the Binyan Achoma. They should also not collect money from this individual, from Talmid Chachamim, to pay for building the city wall, for example, or fixing the gates, or paying for the watchman's wages, and the like. And the same thing applies to paying to giving a present to the king. All of those would be taxes. If you look throughout Jewish history, there were various taxes that the community basically imposed on itself, or were imposed on it from outside, either to kind of appease a king or to kind of take care of the needs of the communal infrastructure. So those taxes would not be taken from a Talmud Chacham. So we see in Hosea, although they will be among the nations, now we gather them in a little while, they will be released from the burden of the kings and his officers. So we should try to avoid giving the Talmid Chachamim these additional burdens. And so there are two different types of taxes. Basically, there was a tax on each individual person. So that individual person, namely the Talmid Chacham, should not have to pay. And if there's a tax levied on the entire city, so then basically everyone will kind of split it out. One would not, include the Talmid Chachamim as part of that requirement. So too, let's say Talmud Chacham wants to sell merchandise in the to the community, they should have the opportunity to sell first. So they should be able to if they have a court case that they're waiting for legal matters, etc. So and they're standing amongst everybody else, they should be able to get precedent. And be able to priority and be able to sit down as well. Okay. So that we ready that we see here, the Ramban Yerodea writes that the halacha is that even if a general government puts taxes on a talmid, the community basically is obligated to pay the tax on that individual's behalf. So we just pointed out, let's say it's a head tax. Very often the non-Jewish government is not going to say, "Oh, talmid chacham, I don't have to charge them." So says the Ramah, actually part of halacha, you have to pay on their behalf. And the Shulchan Aruch, again in the same location in Yerodea, points out that these privileges really are only extended to those individuals that talmid chacham and devote the majority of their time to learning Torah and limit their business involvement to the minimum necessary to earn a livelihood. But if this person doesn't like making money in stocks or is making money because they have a property open, whatever it is, that would not suffice. Other authorities have voiced other opinions, some stricter, some more lenient. So while that's Shulchan Aruch's opinion, there are different positions, each direction basically about whether or not these halachos apply to the mikvah that we may encounter, and that's important to keep in mind. Okay, halacha yud aleph. It's a big, big sin to hate or disgrace the time of Chacham. And as you pointed out, a couple of problems earlier, says in Divrei Yamim, and they would mock my messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despise words and scoff at his prophets. Namely, they would scorn it, right? Lomar, bozim milam de dvarav. They would scorn the individuals who would teach his words, namely the Rabbeinu Shlomo's words. And again, we pointed out the Gemara that describes all the different potential reasons for why the Yerushalayim was destroyed. One of them was the first one actually was that people would disparage and disgrace Tamidei Chachamim. We pointed out when children learning Torah should not be interrupted even to rebuild the base of Mikdash, as we pointed out in that same Gemara, because these children were interrupted in the past, and that was one of the other reasons why the base of Mikdash was destroyed. That was a whole long list of the reasons. But here we say that that's why Tamidei Chachamim, it's very, very big deal, and that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Again, we're still a dying and out. We're a week away from Elul, but we're still feeling kind of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, not kind of. We are feeling the loss of the Beis HaMikdash at Yom HaZeh, and we want to see it rebuild. It's not just something that we do on this Shabbat, but something we worry about and concern ourselves throughout the entire year. When it says, if you despise my statutes, remember there's a distinction between. So here, if they despise the statutes, right? So what does it mean? Says Chazal, let's say you despise the teachers of what I of my Torah. Says the Rambam. Wow. You despise Talmid Chachamim, you have no chelik in Olam Haba, and you are part of the category of individuals of Ki Dvar Hashem Bazar, because you scorn the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wow, okay, that's a big deal. We're never going to see kind of what happens in that case. Even if someone that disgraces the time of Chachamim doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, we do something in this world also. In Bo Edim should be Zahu, let's say there are Edim that said, I saw him do this. I have two witnesses say, I witnessed it. I feel it with the Varim. Chayev Nidui. So even in that case, they would be required to have an ex, a ban and an ostracism, basically, excommunication, because of this. So based in Viravim, Vikonsin, Oso Litra, Zahra, Vichomakom, Vinosnin, Oso the Chacham, says the Rambam. Not only that, the court itself would announce this ban, so it wasn't like a private type of ban. This is a public ban, and wherever they're located, they would have to give an amount of litra of gold to this Talmud Chacham. So basically, you're paying back this Talmud Chacham. Says the Rambam, let's say you are mevazeh Talmud Chacham after that person has passed away. So what do? So the basin still puts them in excommunication. It puts them in ban. I'm sorry, behema tirino so because yachsa b'tshuva. And as we pointed out, tshuva baruch Hashem is an opportunity in our lives. We can again we're about to get into halul. So once that individual does tshuva, so then the basin would allow them back out of their ban. And remember, back in those days, you really have to be part of a community, not only because that service as protection from kind of being on your own, but also kind of the whole tax structure and communal structure was all based on you being part of a community. If you were excommunicated from a community, that was a pretty big deal. And you really didn't have access to Jewish life if you were banned. About im haya chacham chai imat yirin osad shiyatsa zeh shenidua b'shvilo. So what happens if you again? That was in case the basin could allow. Can if you just tshuva, so then the basin could allow the person out of the ban. But what happens if the person that you were disgracing the talmud chacham is still alive? So then you can't. Then the basin can't allow them out of the ban. The only person that can allow them out of the ban basically is the chacham himself, and that chacham needs to be shiratzah zeh shenidua b'shvilo. Right. So that talmud chacham needs to basically be appeased. You need to go over to that individual and apologize, et cetera, et cetera. Let's say that Chacham wants to give a ban to an individual, basically was not acting inappropriate with him, and it can be anyone, really. They don't need Adim, and they don't need witnesses. They're allowed to do that. And then that person's not out of that ban unless the Chacham wants to allow them out. Let's say that once that Hakam dies, so then three individuals are based in, can come along and matir that individual to allow them out of the ban. Let's say the person, the Talmud Chacham just wants to forgive them for acting egregiously against them, again without witnesses, etc. And doesn't want to put them in a ban, that is totally their prerogative. They do not have to put the individual into a ban. Okay? Halacha Yud Gimel. So now, kind of, how do these bans work, basically? If a Talmud Chacham placed someone else under, right? So he put someone under a ban for his own honor. So all of that Talmud Chacham's Talmidim, they're his students, need to follow that that ban. They can't, deal with this individual. Let's say there's a younger Talmud Chacham who put someone else in a ban for his own honor. So then that person's Rav does not have to follow that need. What about this? Everyone else in the community does need to. Let's say someone is a ban because they acted inappropriately with a Nasi, so then all Chai Yisrael need to follow that ban. But anyone in Chai Yisrael that puts a ban on someone else, ain't a Menudah Nasi. A Nasi does not have to follow that ban. Menudo the Iro, Menudo the Ira Cheres, Menudo the Ira Cheres, ain't Menudo, ain't a Menudo the Iro. So let's say a person is put in a ban by his own city, so all other cities need to follow that ban, and that's really where this ban is very, very strong. So you can't just pick up and move to another city and they'll accept you there. They have to follow the ban as well. And that's why they would send out, we have like documentation in history, during the medieval times, they would send out, a document, so-and-so is under ban, they send it to all the different cities around, and they would all basically be, on the same page about, following that ban. But what happens if you are, banned from another city? So then your own city does not have to follow that. They know you better and they don't have to follow that. So those are kind of the restrictions there. What are things that, and there's going to be a whole long list now, 24 different reasons that a person is allowed to go into, be banned. All these halachas that we're talking about right now, everything we just talked about is when we're talking about disgracing Talmud Chacham. Let's say it's for one of the following other 24 reasons. So then they would get a ban for that. Afilu nido katan to be Yisrael, even the small person in Yisrael, chayav nasiv chol Yisrael linagbo nidoy. So for all the other reasons, even for even if someone, the youngest person, puts this person in excommunication for these following 23 other reasons, I would say, everyone, including the nasi, and all Christ will need to follow it until the person does tshuva and gets added. That's 24 things in general, and again, what the halacha above was, one of those is mevazes hachacham v'filu la'achamoso. If you disgrace a talmid chacham, that's what we were talking about, even after his life, so then that would be a problem, and all the halachas that we talked about above, and the limitations of those halachas would apply. But all the following other ones, those call clients will need to do, and that's, and we'll go through the list pretty quickly right now. Mevazes shliach based in, let's say you disgrace a messenger of the court. Akor lechaver eved, if you call a colleague a slave, misha shalcho lo based in, basically, it was ordered to come to a basin and didn't show up. Meaning not just ordered to come, but come at a specific time. He was served, so to speak, and he didn't show up. That'd be a problem. In either that way, you get banned that way. If he treats one point the rabbinic law with disrespect, needless to say, if it was actually the actual Torah law, that would be a problem. Misha lo kibel alav es adin minadin ozo adchin yitain. If a person basically refuses to comply with what the basin, they went to basin with another person, the basin said this is halacha, and he doesn't want to accept it, so then they're in the ban until he complies. Misha yesh rishus. I'm sorry. Yesh Rishuso Davar Amazik Kigom Kelev Ra Osulim Raua Minadino Tzadchi Asira Ezekos. So now we're getting into other categories. So let's say a person has something that could really cause a lot of damage, a dangerous dog or a bad ladder. So he's under ban until he gets rid of those things. Hamocher Karko Shalo Laovi Chavim Minadino Tzadchi Kavu Alav Kol Ones Kol Ones Yavo Min Haovi Chavim LeYisrael Chaviro Baal Hametzar. Says the Rambam, anyone who sells land to a non-Jew is placed under a ban until he accepts responsibility for any damages which the non-Jew may cause to a Jewish neighbor, basically. So he has to be able to say, I'm willing to accept any of the damages that might come along from that sale. I made al Yisrael bar kol shel chavim v'hotzi menu beeduso mamon shaloki din Yisrael menagino so achi Yisraelim. Wow. So what happens if a person, a Jewish person, in general, halacha is you should go to a Jewish court. So let's say a Jewish person testifies against another Jewish colleague at a secular court, or coast, and ultimately it causes that Jew to have to pay up more money than would be required to be paid if they were at a Jewish court. He has to pay, he's under ban until he basically pays the difference. Tavach Kohen she'ena mafresh amatanos v'nosnam the Kohen acher minadino so adsheyitein. So let's say we have a butcher who is also a Kohen, a priest, and I remember just reminding us at the very beginning there are different crowns. One of the crowns is Torah, one of the crowns is Kahuna. So let's say you have a Kohen who is a butcher and didn't separate the portions he said, I'll keep it to myself and I'll give it to another priest. That would be a problem. He has to give the portions of the animal to another priest, and until he does that, he's under ban. Very important. This is a very important halacha, and people don't necessarily view it this way often, which is the problem. If someone is mechal, they desecrate the second day of Yom Tov, even though it's only a minhag to have a second day of Yom Tov in Galios, in Chutz La'aretz. So, nevertheless, if you desecrate it, you're put into ban. Also, again, remember, nowadays the ban is not as effective because you really could go anywhere. But nevertheless, there's still bans that take place. For specific cases, the basin often puts a ban on a person not to accept them into a minion, for example, and really it's intended to push them to fulfill something. As you see, all of these cases, it's not a lifelong ban. These are bans until they fix their ways. Also, malacha erev Pesach achar chatzos. Let's say he does work on erev Pesach after chatzos, that would be a problem. Good. Amaskir shem shemayim levatala ol leshuah b'divrei havai. Let's say a person takes the Ribono Shel Olam's name in vain or takes an oath casually. Maybe al Rabbim, he causes other people to do Chil Hashem, as we saw in the halakha, so we saw the Atarah would be a major problem. Chil Hashem, Hamevi Ataram, Lide Achilas Kadshim Mechut, if he causes basically people to eat sacrificial food outside of its official halakha place, and Mechashiv Shnayim, Vikoveya Chadashim, I'm sorry, Shonim, and Mechashiv Shonim, Vikoveya Chadashim Mechutz Laaret, if someone basically, and we'll see these when we get into the halakhos of the calendar, but if you declare a leap year or you fix new days, the days of a new month, in outside of Eretz Yisrael, that would be a problem. Not to worry. The calendar we have, for the Dodos basically was set up in there, so the Rambam is going to, give very very strong emphasis to that when we get there. Amachishil esa iver ma'akev a rabin la'asus mitzvah tavach shalta trei from itachas yados. So those three examples here are if you cause a blind person to stumble. Or someone who is unaware, meaning that could be with regard to mitzvah. A person, you prevent someone from doing a mitzvah, or if you sold non-kosher meat, if you were a butcher, all those things would put you into a ban as well. If a butcher doesn't check their knife in front of a chacham. Again, you have to be very careful. The knife has to be, totally smooth. Okay, and Mishi Gavirish Ishto Ve'asa Beino Ubeino Shetafus O Masa Matan Mevin Lachen Lehizak Ke Zelazeh Kshiavo Leveisin Menad Nosam Kachlof Shemuaso Ra'a. So the last bunch of cases include, but are not limited. A couple of these cases I'm not going to go into in entire detail. But if you do something, if they're inappropriate actions when it comes to relations, and if a person divorces his wife and then enters a partnership of business dealing with her, which requires them to come into contact, when they come to court, they are put under ban. A Talmid Chacham whose reputation is unsavory, or if a person who is placed, who places another person under ban, when the other person actually doesn't deserve to be put into ban, meaning, if you did it inappropriately, all of those cases would be cases of getting nidui and everyone would have to file them. Again, we talked about the halachos of fulfilling, Nesei Vetakum, Darta, to stand and to give cover to Talmid Chachamim and how it applies to other individuals like a Nasi and a Basin, and how niduis apply, how bans apply if an individual is put in one because he is disgracing a Talmid Chacham, and all those halachos will continue in tomorrow's halachos.